If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Joe Hoff from the Joe Hoff Show here on TNTRadio.live. Appreciate you joining me. We got a lot to cover today. Got a couple great guests and some unbelievable subject matter to cover today. It's another crazy day in Biden's USA, and that's what's happening right now. And so there we go. And there it is. And there is that. And that is that. So I wanted to bring up a story that I noticed this morning. It's out of Florida. And I put it up at the Gateway Pundit. It's the top story there right now. And it's a crazy story. It's just crazy. So I'm going to read parts of this to you because you just won't even believe it. And it was out on Facebook at first, and then I put it up at the Gateway Pundit and put it over there. But it comes from the Martin County Sheriff's Office. So Martin County is one of the counties in Florida. Not really sure how many counties are in Florida. But anyways, it's one of the counties. It's down near just north of Mar-a-Lago by an hour or so. Nice community, beautiful Florida, sunny Florida. And the story reads, it comes from the Martin County Sheriff, and he says that the headline is, a deputy's marked patrol vehicle was hit by an unlicensed driver during an investigation of a child hit on bicycle by a different unlicensed driver. So, I think you caught that, but what we're saying is the cop is pulled over. He's investigating an incident where a child was hit by an individual in a car. The child got airlifted, and fortunately, he's safe today. He's okay today, but he got airlifted out. So that's not a good thing. The driver, and maybe I should read through this. So it's just a routine. Well, it wasn't routine because the driver didn't have a license. It's just unbelievable. So anyways, the policeman's looking into this incident. And while he was investigating this crash, which was the car bike crash, where the unlicensed driver hit a child on a bike. And so while this policeman is questioning the unlicensed driver, and his name is 49-year-old Emilia Maricel Miranda de La Rosa, a second unlicensed driver in a Ford F-250 crashed into the back of the marked patrol car. So the car's on the side of the road. I'm sure the sirens are on. He's pulled over looking at what's going on, and his car gets hit by another unlicensed driver. So the child in the first crash, they go on to say, was airlifted to the hospital, but he's expected to recover. So we don't know what happened to the kid. The individual who hit the child, Emilia Maricel Miranda de La Rosa, he was charged with driving without a license, and this is her second such charge in 2 years. So she's been driving around for 2 years without a license. Now, the guy who hit the vehicle was a 29-year-old Angel Palacio, I'm not really sure how to say that, Monson. And he told deputies that he didn't see the marked patrol car or the parking lights. He said that he was returning home from a roofing job in a nearby location where he cut his finger. He told the deputy he had a couple beers to help him cope with the pain. And Policio Monsoon said that he's never had a driver's license. And he was transported to the hospital to be treated for the cut to his finger. Now, he was charged with driving without a license, and a DUI with property damages are pending. So this is Biden's America. This is what we got here. We got one unlicensed driver involved in severely hurt injuring a child because the child got airlifted. So that doesn't happen for minor incidents. And you've got without a license, who's been arrested before without a license. And then you've got the second individual who doesn't have a license, who's possibly, very possibly drunk, probably should probably have tested him at the hospital. And when they fixed his finger for whatever was going on there, and he doesn't have a license. So this is Biden's America. Now, the comments were unbelievable. This came out on Facebook, and you can find it at Martin County Sheriff's Office on Facebook or at the Gateway Pundit as a top story. So this crazy world that we live in, Biden's going to let anybody cross the border. Everybody on Facebook was saying, well, this is an illegal alien. First comment on Gateway Pundit, illegal alien. This is what happens. And then the other comments made sense too. It's like, well, this is why my insurance costs go up, because these people are driving without insurance and it costs us all. And that's a great point. And I thought, and this one guy, he gets carted off to the hospital. Well, the child gets carted off to the hospital. That's all because of somebody driving without a license. Maybe if they had a license, they'd maybe know how to drive safer. I mean, this one lady, it's her second time in 2 years. So hits a bike, that's not good. So maybe that's why we have licenses, because you got to do tests and learn how to drive. And she didn't obviously do that. And so as a result, this kid goes to the hospital, as well as the second driver who's unlicensed goes to the hospital. And he has he's cut, and we're paying for it all. We're paying for it all. We're paying for the policeman's time. We're paying for the police car now that's damaged. We're paying for it all. This is Biden's America, folks. This is just absolutely insane. And that's just crazy. I think it's one of the craziest stories I've heard. I saw it, and I actually was laughing. I'm like, this is just crazy. And this is Biden's America. So anyways, that's one incident that occurred overnight. And another incident overnight is something that our friend Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, wants to chat about. And it's about an incident last night at Michigan State University. And this was within where an individual gunman went in. I believe he ended up, I think, and Adam can correct me, I think 3 people were killed, another 5 or so were injured. And they did capture this guy, I think, or maybe he even killed himself. I think that might be, unless I'm mixing it up with another story I read overnight. But so anyways, we got Pete Buttigieg talking about, yeah, we need to shut down on guns. But at the same time, we got a disaster in another state nearby in Ohio, where there's a derailment disaster that took place. And this is his purview. This is his what he's supposed to be overseeing. And it's just a mess. So, Adam, welcome to the Joe Hoff Show. What do you have to say about all this?
it's really shocking. We here at TNT Radio have been blasting the news about the thing that took place in Ohio. This dude, Pete Buttigieg, kind of quiet about it, but not so quiet about what happened last night. So let's start there, shall we? So Fox mm-hmm. News today reporting, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg on Tuesday condemned the mass shooting that took place the day prior. This was yesterday at Michigan State University's campus in East Lansing, Michigan, which claimed the lives of 3 people and left 5 others critically wounded. Buttigieg tweeted on Tuesday morning, roughly 12 hours after the shooting was reported, quote, "The last thing students should be worrying about is getting shot. News from Michigan State University is heartbreaking, and it is yet another maddening call to further action on gun violence in America. This has to end," end quote. Of course, we know what he means by that. Take away the guns from the law-abiding citizens. But anyways, going on with the report, mm-hmm. police said Anthony McRae, 43, is the suspected gunman who killed 4 people, including himself, at Michigan State University on Monday evening. 5 others who were wounded were taken to EW Sparrow Hospital to receive medical care, and they remain in critical condition. Investigators have not determined yet a motive in the shooting. All right. So while many public officials in Michigan have, of course, condemned the horrific crime, Buttigieg's swift statement is noteworthy, as the transportation secretary has faced recent criticism over his political priorities amid a series of transportation disasters, including a Federal Aviation Administration outage that grounded more than 11,000 flights in January, which of course caused outrage, and the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. I think it doesn't sound like the country. So the country's Palestine. It's the other way. So Palestine. Mm. So There we go. East Palestine, Ohio. That's according to people who live there. So we'll try to correct ourselves as we do this. It's tough. I know, right?
Nevada, Nevada, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. No, tomato, tomato. So this was a horrible tragedy regardless. And of course, it spilled toxic chemicals into the environment. That took place on February 3rd. Critics slammed Buttigieg for taking 10 days to even respond to the train derailment, which led to a plume of toxic gas being released into the air as officials conducted a controlled burn of vinyl chloride in the name of preventing an explosion. In the days following the accident, residents have reported sick and dying animals, as well as themselves getting sick. They're getting headaches and other ill health effects already. Of course, Buttigieg neglected to mention the accident during a recent onstage appearance at the National Association of Counties Conference on Monday, where he discussed issues like racial disparities in construction and the bipartisan infrastructure law. He issued a statement about the accident only after taking flack on social media all day Monday. So he finally got to Twitter and tweeted, quote, "I continue to be concerned about the impacts of the February 3rd train derailments. I know, near East Palestine, Ohio, and the effects on families in the 10 days since their lives were upended through no fault of their own. It's important that families have access to useful and accurate information," end quote. And that's why you should just tune in here to TNT Radio, folks, right? So, yeah, what do you think? I mean, have you heard of all the updates about this? I reported yesterday about how, what's her name? Erin Brockovich, you know, everyone knows her. She came out and she's telling people, hey, trust your eyes, your ears, and your nose and get the hell out of there if your senses are telling you to. Whereas the Biden administration says, oh, yeah, everything's cool. Go back in your home. Nothing to see here. Beat Pete says nothing. So what do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think a number of things, really. I think Buttigieg is a piece of work. I mean, he was a mayor and he runs for president, mayor of a, not even a robust city, pretty tame Midwest city, had the audacity to run. He sounded just like Obama. They put up a couple of the speeches next to Obama's. They were just mirroring the same words. It looked to me like he was their chosen one. They were hoping they would get a gay man into the presidency, and that would be cool because there's always got to be some sort of diversity hire in their presidential candidates. So they had the Obama, the first black president, and then they had Hillary, who they're hoping to be the first woman, and then Buttigieg, the first gay. But Buttigieg, I think, pretty clearly wasn't going to cut the butter. Americans weren't thrilled with this guy. I think the thing that did him in was when they filmed him eating once. He just looked like a ravenous dog eating this hot dog. It looked horrible. It was terrible. I think lesson number one for politicians, never eat on camera. And then he takes over as the transportation secretary as they handed it to Biden. And he has failed with very early on with the shortages. We had all these boats and big, huge cargo ships across L.A. and Long Beach sitting out on like 100. It was a record. More boats sitting there trying to unload. And that was a mess. And then we've had all sorts of messes. I would say this balloon stuff that occurred lately in our airways is partially, at least, under his purview. He's over transportation. And if that impacts any of the transportation sector, then that would be under his realm. And he's crickets on that. And now crickets on this train. I don't know if it was a derailment or what happened, but crickets on that. I used to work at the railroad. I've had I've done a lot of things. And I said to somebody that, what do you think about it? They asked me. I said, well, I've worked on the railroad. We used to have derailments. It was just part of the business almost. And it's expensive for the railroads. It costs them a lot of money. They're self-insured, so they have to set money aside for incidents like this. And it's happened before. And so I'm personally thinking, you know, yeah, there's the chemicals and yeah, you don't want to be around it for sure. But I don't know. I guess I got numb to it when I was working at the railroad and saw this happen quite often. So I'm not so overly excited about it now, but I may be in a couple of days, you know, as the information comes out. So that's kind of my thoughts. I guess, Adam, what do you have here to kind of close this out? What do you think?
Well, a lot of us here, especially in the alternative media, as well as here on TNT Radio, were concerned that this was being not discussed by the mainstream media. Mm. And it's interesting that just now, as of pretty much yesterday, some of the bigger networks started talking about it. I think Tucker Carlson just talked about it just yesterday. So that was nice to see. That's always helpful to get eyes and ears on this problem. Of course, they'll be able to politically spin it against Pete Buttigieg. I hope they don't ignore the absolute disaster that this is. I mean, this is going to have serious. This is what causes health effects right here. Sure. But they'd like you to think, oh, it's just an invisible whatever, and not really give us the lowdown on what's going on with these viruses and things. But they'll, you know, and then they'll completely ignore things like this all the time. And I mentioned Aaron Brockovich earlier. Maybe it's a good time to watch that movie. Or what was that old movie with Jack Nicholson in it with the Water Authority Company? China Syndrome or something like that? I don't know if people remember that one. Or Chinatown. No. Chinatown. That's what it was. Classic. Classic Chinatown. You know, the way that these companies and the public railways and utilities, they're all corrupt and hand-in-hand with the government. Yeah. And there's big donors. So a lot of people were starting to realize, okay, let's look into this railway. It's Norfolk Southern Railway. And someone discovered that the top three shareholders are like JP Morgan, BlackRock, and Vanguard, as well as a number of other people who are usually advertisers and donors to politicians. So let's keep the light on this story for as long as we can. And you have a good, great day, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us. Okay, we'll be right back with my good friend Eric Naputi, Dr. Eric Naputi, and he's got a story that you won't believe. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare.
Here at the bottom tip of the African continent, the temperature right now as I speak to you is 33 degrees C. You, wherever you are making it very hot here. So please stop driving your car, turn off your light bulbs, and just hate your life. Please stop doing whatever you're doing because you're making it very hot for me down here at the bottom tip of Africa. So please be considerate and save your fellow Africans by turning off your light bulbs. Who knows, maybe you'll also stop the Arctic and the Antarctic from apparently melting. Buy a battery-powered car. You know, even Henry Ford 100 years ago thought it was a joke. And I have a suspicion Elon Musk knows it's a joke. I have a suspicion. Can't say for sure. I can't pin him. I can't actually pin him. But I think he knows that battery, electric cars, whatever, I think he knows that they just are inferior to internal combustion.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoft at the Joe Hoft Show here on TNTRadio.live. And I have my good friend Eric Naputi, Dr. Eric Naputi with me. And really anxious to dig into some things here with the doctor. So, Eric, great having you. How are you doing?
Joe, great. Love being here with you. I'm excited to have this conversation and just looking forward to it, my friend. So let's do it.
Yeah. How about it? You bring a smile to my face just talking to you. So Eric and I were on another channel at one time and he followed me and we joined each other's shows at various times. He's just an incredible man. He's been very successful in the business field. One thing impressed me is he's a pretty thick guy, pretty strong looking guy. You don't want to mess with him. He was a linebacker in college. So mentioned that to me again today, Division I, he's playing linebacker. So that's not somebody you want to mess with. Quite frankly, Eric, and maybe we could start off with this. I think linebackers are some of the greatest athletes on this earth. What do you think?
Joe, I would agree that they are phenomenal athletes, but there's just something different with that mentality of a linebacker. You just tell them they can't and they're going to go figure out a way to get it done. And that's, Joe, I'll tell you what's made me successful as a doctor and as a business person is that mentality. You know, I used to tackle running backs and now I tackle sickness and disease. And you know, when COVID hit and we showed all these solutions on how to tackle this disease, it made no sense. And as a linebacker, I just kept pushing forward and telling people, of course, there are things that can be done. And of course, now, Joe, we're seeing, you know, all of the liars, the damn liars and the golly gosh darn liars spilling their guts, you know, on Capitol Hill. We were right, Joe. And it takes that linebacker mentality to break through the craziness. So that's where we're at right now, my friend.
Yeah, I could talk to you about linebackers for probably the whole segment too. I'd love to do that sometime. That'd be great. So I think, yeah, some of these guys were just, you know, heroes growing up, Buckus and Jack Lambert and some of these guys are animals. They're just, they're cool to watch. But
I was a big Mike Singletary guy back in the day. I believe it. I was a big Junior Seau. So Junior Seau and his unfortunate concussions and et cetera is what really got me into functional neurology and how to help these young athletes with post-concussion syndrome and really prevention of a lot of CTE and other things that are out there. There are things that can be done, Joe, to help people with all kinds of things health-wise, but sometimes the powers that be don't want to have those conversations. You know how that goes.
That's amazing. Yeah, amazing. And you mentioned the Bears and Singletary. I just noticed at the Super Bowl that they mentioned that Philadelphia had the third most sacks for a season for a team in history this year behind the Bears in 84 and 85. They were so good. They were unbelievable. But we'll move on. I'd really love to talk about that. But I'm really wanting to, you know, to hear more about your story. You kind of started to allude to it. COVID comes out. They're saying 3.4% mortality. The world freaks. As you know, I came out with a post at Gateway Pundit where I looked at it and I said within 10 minutes, Eric, I saw these numbers are faulty. And I got we got a lot of flack fact checking on that. I got doxed for saying that. And it was a Media Matters attacked me for that. But it was true. And I looking back here, maybe I can mention this. So we came out with that months, a few months later, I did another post where I said 6%. And this thing, 6% went all over the internet, all over Twitter, especially 6% Joe, 6%, all these people, because it came from the CDC's website. They said only 6% of the people that are dying actually have died from just COVID. Everybody else has on average 2.5 morbidities. So they were lying to us about how, to me, I think reflecting back, they were lying to us about how severe this crisis was. And that was one thing. But then, like you say, they never gave us a remedy for what to take if you get sick or even how to protect yourself. And that's where your story comes in, doesn't it?
I mean, Joe, I used common sense when the mainstream medical world said, look, there's nothing that can be done for COVID-19. If you test positive, go home. Hopefully your lips don't turn blue. Take some Tylenol, which is the worst thing you could do, by the way. And if your lips turn blue, go to the hospital, get put on a ventilator. Well, Joe, we've known about six other coronaviruses that have affected mankind for over 100 years. We know remedies for coronaviruses. In fact, in 2010, NIH, Tony Fauci signed off on this study. Dr. Ralph Baric, who is the godfather of gain of function for SARS-CoV-2, did a study and he found out that zinc was one of the antidotes for coronavirus. So we came out and said, hold on. There's a 150-year-old homeopathic remedy, high-dose vitamin D, high-dose zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, rest, have some chicken noodle soup, stay hydrated, you'll be fine. Turns out we were right then, we're right now, but the federal government was so entrenched in protecting its investments in the emergency use authorization and carrying the water for Big Pharma, Joe, that they actually sued us. They sued me for $500 billion. No joke, by the way. $508 billion. Nobody's ever been sued for that much money in the history of the world, period. And they came after me, a little, you know, doctor from central Missouri, just trying to give people solutions. Well, Joe, we pushed back against the government when they sued us. They said we violated a law called the COVID Consumer Protection Act, which nobody had ever heard of before. We found out about it when we got served the papers that we were, you know, being civilly investigated for a civil penalty, not a criminal, civil penalty. Well, long story short, we showed the government 103 different studies on the benefits of vitamin D in coronavirus, 24 randomized controlled studies, which blows the water out with the two randomized controlled studies that the FDA wanted to have. We showed them over 36 studies on zinc, and the latest studies, Joe, on vitamin D alone which was a 600,000 person study done at the USVA's numbers. 600,000 people, the John Hopkins researchers that did this study said, look, if doctors and politicians would have talked about the benefits of vitamin D, just in the year 2020 alone, we could have prevented, Joe, 4 million cases of COVID in 2020 alone and saved the lives of 116,000 Americans. That's 1 year, one country. And by the way, guess how many people die from taking vitamin D? Nobody. In 30 years, nobody's died of taking vitamins. How many people have died from Paxlovid, remdesivir, COVID shots, you know, more than one, right? So the reality is that the government pushed, we pushed back. They did not think we would stand this far. And true to what everybody has thought, they have delayed and delayed and delayed my court case. I'm supposed to be going in front of a jury. It was supposed to be November of 2022. The government told our lawyers or the judge that they're not ready to try this case. They were ready to bring a $500 trillion lawsuit against me, but they're not ready to try this case, Joe. And what's interesting—
You know, Eric, sorry to interrupt, but when I hear that, I think the government should be— the case should be immediately thrown out, and you should be able to immediately go after the government for more than— for not just your expenses to date, but for the absolute, you know, stress, reputation, et cetera, that they've put you under over the last few years. If they're not ready, that tells you one thing. They don't have a case.
Of course
they're trying— they've got to build one. They don't have one.
First of all, Joe, the government's been told by two federal judges they don't have a case against me. And they've been trying to bring one against us for 2 years. They just think that I'll go away or run out of money. And thank God, all I do is work, and I've got amazing people on my side to help me, you know, amazing listeners like your listeners and people that contribute to our GoFundMe account to keep our legal fills up so that we can handle this fight. But Joe, listen to what they did to me. They put out a falsified press release about me April 15th of 2021. And that falsified press release allowed five of my banks to shut my bank accounts down. That allowed the insurance companies, including Medicare, that we provide for our patients in our practices, to completely shut off all insurance funding. We've lost literally 75% of our income. The government colluded with Facebook and Google to shut down all of our online marketing. They literally have cost me over $25 million in revenue over the last 2 years. And what it does moving forward, Joe, I can't even go right now. I've got a 790 credit score. It's got— I mean, you can't get much better than that. I can't get a loan right now because there's a mark against my credit because of this potential lawsuit with the government. They literally have done everything they can to try to ruin my life. And the only reason why they've done that is because they don't have a case against us. So they're trying to get me to, you know, bend my knee and kiss their ring and settle on this deal. And Joe, we're not doing it. We're taking this all the way to trial. The counterclaims we have against the government are massive. There's been fraud, deception. They lied. They violated my First Amendment freedom of speech. We have tort claims against them. And Joe, most people don't realize this. The government has something called sovereign immunity, which means that they have to agree. The government has to agree for you to be able to sue them. How crazy is that? And there are about five things that they've agreed to being sued on, and we've had four of them happen to us. So we're in a really great spot. It sucks we have to go through it. But Joe, there's more at stake here than just my reputation, the $4 million that I've spent on legal fees, and all the stress that I've been through over the last 2.5 years. This is natural medicine on trial. This is doctor-patient relationship on trial. This is the government telling doctors what they can and can't do, say, and et cetera in their community. This is a First Amendment freedom of speech violation on trial. If we don't push back against these guys, Joe, and we let them get away with this, they can do this again and again and again. So we're fighting, brother. And our website, is fightwitheric.com, and everybody can go there and check out that site and see everything that's involved. And if God puts it on your heart to donate, we certainly could use the help. You know, we really could use the love.
Wow. That's definitely fightwitheric.gov. You know what this reminds me of, in part, and I don't know what you're going through, and well, a couple thoughts as you were talking, well, a number of thoughts, but one is, you know, I used to fly a lot. I was in Hong Kong. I'm flying back and forth from the States, and you get a cold when you're flying. It just is horrible. It's just horrible. Ears sometimes pop. It's just horrible. And so I would always stock up on meds. I'd bring almost my little medicine kit with me, you know, just to ensure my, you know, protect myself. But then Zicam came out, this one drug over the counter. And also it is, my understanding is it's like vitamin C, I think vitamin D, and it's got zinc.
It's zinc. It's a ton of zinc.
And
yeah,
it works. I share this with a lot of people. I would take that stuff at the first onset. I think I'm coming down with something. Take one of those Zicam 4 hours later, take another one, just suck on these things. They taste like, you know, almost like little candies. And it would work. When a day I didn't have any symptoms, they were gone. And it was because it was zinc, and that's a cold. And wasn't COVID a type of cold in essence? And so it's like, no wonder this stuff works.
Coronaviruses, right? The most common cause of flu and cold-like symptoms, 54 to 55% of respiratory issues that you get are coronaviruses in nature. That's why whenever the government said this is a novel virus, those of us in the scientific community are like, well, okay, but what's so new about it? We know about six other coronaviruses, and this virus happened to be 80% genetically identical to SARS-CoV-1 that we dealt with back in 2002, which we had almost 20 years to prepare for. How do we help the human body? And Joe, you're right. Zinc is a huge part of that. Even the federal government did a study, NIH.gov, zinc and coronaviruses, signed off on by Tony Fauci. The problem is, Joe, when we communicate with the government, I had to educate the FTC and the DOJ. They had no idea that the Department of Defense uses vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, et cetera, in their COVID protocols. I had to educate them that their own government money paid for funding that looked at the benefits of all kinds of nutrients for coronavirus. I had to show them that there were CARES Act and PREP Act money that was given to different states to study the benefits of vitamin D, zinc for coronavirus. We showed them that, and Joe, these are the people that are bringing a $500 billion lawsuit against me, and they had no idea that any of this stuff was their own doing. All I was doing was reading the literature. I'm not coming up with anything brand new.
Yeah.
It's a 200-year-old remedy.
Yeah, there it is. Just like us when we came out with that 6% thing. That was actually my
post. You guys have been right from the beginning, Joe. Guys have been right from the beginning.
Do you know, Eric, one thing, Jim had a friend, an older man. He was about 80. He was in a home. Couldn't go and see him for about 6 months due to COVID. He finally got COVID in the old folks home. And Jim calls him and asks him, you know, so what are they giving to you? He goes, oh, nothing. And a week or two later, he was dead.
Yeah.
And Jim was really offended by that. It's like, here, this has been 6 months since the breakout, and they, or even longer, and they still didn't have anything to provide to somebody that gets sick. I mean, you know, it's just shocking how they and so maybe this leads back, Eric, to my initial thoughts. There was a consensus. There was a material effort to prevent the knowledge that maybe, you know, there were remedies and that there was really kind of forcing us into actions that didn't help. Like I've heard, it didn't help by putting people not around other people. It was best to spread it and let, you know, nature do its course. But they didn't do that. They everything they were recommending was actually making it worse. And then they never provided anything for people that were, like you said, could have saved how many lives? 100-some thousand lives?
Millions. So, millions, you know, of lives could have been saved if early treatment would have been out. Joe, the reason why the governments came after people like myself and others, talking about vitamin D, zinc, budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, here's the reason. And I know your listeners are educated, but I want everybody to be clear. This is the reason why. Congress granted the FDA the ability to give Pfizer, Moderna, and the vaccine manufacturers something called the emergency use authorization, which gave them blanketed liability to expedite this normal 8 to 10 year process into 8 to 10 weeks. And one of the criteria that had to be met was that there could not be any recognized already out there therapeutic treatment, prevention, or modality for COVID-19 symptoms, including vitamin D, zinc, C, ivermectin, et cetera. So there was a concerted effort to shut all of that information down, because if that was acknowledged as a therapeutic treatment, then the emergency use authorization would have been stopped. Pfizer would have had to go back to the chopping block and go through the whole 8 to 10 year process of bringing their drug to market. And they would not have profited from the hundreds of billions of dollars they already made. And Joe, remember, they use this mRNA technology that we paid for with our taxpayer money. There's now over 20 new injections, supposed vaccines using mRNA technology that the pharmaceutical industry is getting ready to roll out for everything from cancer to heart disease to the flus. And they wouldn't have been able to do that if we would have recognized there were therapeutics and treatments that were out there. This is a collusion between the government and big pharma to hold big pharma's hand on this. And I'll tell you, Joe, and your listeners need to know this. In 2020, myself and thousands of other doctors were able to speak to hospitalists and other practitioners across the globe on therapeutics that were beneficial. They were doing zinc, ivermectin, vitamin D, vitamin C early on in hospitals. And then around January, February of 2021, it was almost like somebody hit the pause button and they wouldn't even take our phone calls, listen to us, or do any of those treatments anymore. What happened in January of 2021? Who took office in 2021? It was an immediate shutdown of communication between doctors across the globe of what we're seeing and finding and what's really helping people. The science went away and the political science took over when the Biden administration really stepped in. And we're now seeing the unfortunate deaths and side effects of that response.
Well, and I tell you this, this is kind of a people might call it conspiracy or not, but this Dr. Wolf, Naomi Wolf, has been on Steve Bannon talking about her research into COVID and really into these vaccines now. And she actually went as far as to say here a week or so ago, she said she thinks this vaccine might be more than anything like it's biowarfare, a weapon, a bioweapon. She says it is so dangerous what we're putting into people. And she says with each dose, it just attacks your system even more. And she says, that's why we're seeing these people drop. This thing's not healthy. And so leading back to my questions, Eric, and I don't know how to, you know, politically address this properly, Eric. I don't want to put you on the spot, but that, you know, there was a concerted effort to attack us when we said, this looks more like the flu than it does something really, really, you know, 3.4% mortality. that's wrong.
And it's beyond wrong.
So is that why they were pushing this so much to make it sound so bad, so they could get away with all this stuff? So that then, as Dr. Wolf would say, taking it another step to push this vaccine on us that's just not healthy, that might even be killing us. I mean, if you're China, you think that's a great idea. Actually, she mentioned that China think this is great.
Well, Joe, here's what I do. Silently kill us. I know that normally it takes about 5 to 8 to 10 years to get a vaccine to market because they want to see short-term and long-term responses, results, and side effects. Well, here we are now 2 years into this thing, and we're seeing some really bad problems, Joe. Different areas of the country, like the United States, has a 11 to 13% increase in all-cause mortality, not related to COVID. Some areas of Europe have 22%, not related to COVID. We're seeing all these young people having heart attacks and strokes. We're seeing it happen on national television. I mean, Joe, if you look at the numbers, we can't even get these numbers in the United States. We have to go to the UK to get them. The latest data out of the UK, they reworked the Pfizer data, the same data that the FDA didn't want to give us for 75 years, by the way. And they found that the majority of people that get these injections, 1 out of 1,000 people who get these shots, Joe, have some type of adverse reaction bad enough where they have to go to the hospital or see a doctor. Well, if you think about that, if you think about the fact that 1 in 1,000 have an adverse effect, And it takes 30,000 injections to prevent one infection. It takes 200,000 injections to prevent one ICU and one death. Mm-hmm. I mean, that math, Joe, doesn't add up. You're a math guy. That doesn't make any sense at all, especially when there is under the age of 18, there's a 0.0003% fatality rate and the flu has a 0.1%. It makes no sense. And to your point about the flu, now the U.S., the United States, Japan, and many other countries have said you have to treat COVID like the flu. What do you do for the flu? You take Zicam, vitamin D, C, you have some chicken soup, you stay hydrated, you stay home for a few days, and you get immune to the darn thing. That's what you do, Joe. They blew it on this so bad it's not funny.
Oh, it's almost you're criminal, if not criminal.
It's and not some almost, of those studies, you, criminal.
Yeah, yeah. Those studies you mentioned, we were writing some of this stuff up back in 2020. Studies were already coming. And how about with kids? Earliest numbers showed that there was no deaths under age 18 for seemed like weeks. And so
Rochelle Walensky lied to the – yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, we wrote about this. It's like kids are pretty much immune to this. It's not a big deal. But instead, we forced them to wear masks. We kept them out of school. We now we're forcing them to take a vaccine through the CDC. I think that's criminal because, and again, you start using the numbers. How many kids die and how many kids are going to die from the vaccine? Well, the numbers from the vaccine seems higher than the kids that are dying from COVID because really no kids are unless they've got some major comorbidities. So why are we doing this? And they're forcing this on our children. So why are they?
Joe, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I go back to looking at this and it's literally money, power, and greed. There's no other rational explanation because if I'm talking to you as a father and I say, hey, I want to inject your son with this experimental injection that, oh, by the way, has a 1 in 1,000 chance of you getting an injury so bad that you have to go to the hospital and you might have permanent disability from it, which by the way, a side effect of the flu, they always would tell you is, it's 1 in 1,000,000, right? Well, 1 in 1,000 is a hell of a lot more common than 1 in 1,000,000. I don't know if you guys know math anymore, but 1 in 1,000 is like nothing. And so if you look at those numbers, compare that to the risk, it's not there. And Rochelle Walensky lied to the American public the other day in front of Congress. She said the reason why they pushed so hard to get these vaccines on the approved childhood vaccine immunization schedule was so that they could get vaccinations into poor kids that wanted them. That's a lie. There's already programs that are out there that allows kids to get that through Medicare, Medicaid, state aid, and et cetera. The reason why they wanted to get this passed through, it's real simple. Because the public health emergency is ending on May the 11th, which means shortly after that, the emergency use authorization has to end. You can't have an emergency authorization if there's no public health emergency. Well, part of the public health emergency gave birth to the PrEP app and the CARES Act, which gave complete immunity to the vaccine manufacturers. You can't even sue them right now unless you prove fraud. And once they get put on the childhood immunization schedule, Joe, since 1986, the government has taken over the insurance company's role for the vaccine manufacturers, and you cannot sue a vaccine manufacturer directly if your child or you get hurt or maimed if that vaccine is on the childhood schedule for immunizations. That's why they did it. We told people this 2 years ago, and it's played out completely the way that they wanted it to. That's the only reason. And by the way, the CDC is not a law-making agency. They make recommendations, period. It's up to the states to decide what they do on a state and local level.
Just dark stuff. Dark, dark stuff. Unbelievable. Eric, I'm so sorry that you have to go through all this stuff. We're behind you all the way. Let us know whatever we can do. I guess any final thoughts here?
Well, you know, Joe, I think we're seeing the forest through the trees with everything that's come out with the Twitter files. I mean, with everything that's coming out with the congressional oversight committees on weaponizing the government, we're seeing the truth come out. We've called it out. You've called it out. The people have called it out. Even politicians and medical people that were against it are now calling it out. I just hope to God that we don't have to wait for the corrupt DOJ to try to call criminal charges on this. We, the people, must stand up against this tyranny and protect ourselves and protect our children so that this never happens again, Joe.
Amen. Amen, Eric. Hey, God bless you. I appreciate you dialing in, Eric. We'll have to catch up again anytime, you know, sometime soon.
All right, brother.
You know, God bless you, man. It's just outrageous what's going on. You know, you got the truth on your side. So that's why I got a lot of faith in you, buddy.
Amen. We got this, my friend. It's just a matter of time. So appreciate you, Joe. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. And by the way, everybody, that's fightwitheric.com. And we can help support him in that way. So thanks a lot, Eric. And we'll be right back with the Joe Hoff Show.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
They just don't stop. The Centers for Disease Control, a.k.a. the CDC, the same bunch who famously changed the definition of vaccination because the COVID vaccination did not prevent you from getting COVID, has now decided to add that very same vaccination to the list of recommended shots on its immunization schedule for adults and kids in school and earlier. Get this. The CDC says healthy children starting at 6 months old should receive two separate doses of either the Moderna or Pfizer shot, followed by a third dose of a bivalent vaccine. Same for kids 5 to 11 years old. It changes slightly for those 12 and up. Now, keep in mind, this series of shots joins a list of vaccines like measles, mumps, rubella, polio. Those vaccinations prevent you from getting the corresponding disease. This one does not. The flu shot is also on the list. It doesn't always work either, but the difference is we know there are no serious long-term side effects from the flu shot. We hardly know anything about the COVID shots. Would you give these shots to your 6-month-old child, 1 year, 2 year, three, or any kid at this point? Now, the only encouraging news is that these CDC recommendations are just that and are not mandatory. Not yet. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Interview conducted at 10:15. Present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
You're listening to Joe Hoft on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, it's a mad, mad world that we live in, that's for sure. God bless Eric Napudi. Again, you can help Eric out there at fightwitheric.com. The guy told me he spent lots of money, just legal fees to date. Had a very successful business, and then here the government came in. The U.S. government comes in and shuts him down. It reminds me a lot of, as he was talking about, how the government comes in, they sue him, they're going after him. They're really, I don't know if it was criminal charges they were even going after. He has to defend himself, spends lots of money on attorneys, millions. And then, and now somebody starts challenging him because he knows he was right. He knows that this stuff that he's been sharing, this remedy, I shouldn't say stuff, but his remedies of zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C, been around for years. It wasn't make-believe, hocus-pocus, witch hunt crazy stuff. It was real medicine that he studied in the past. He's got a lot of knowledge in this area. And quite frankly, it was right. And quite frankly, it was great compared to the zero that we're getting from our government, where people like Eric, my brother's friend, dies at age 80 after being stuck in a home for 6 months and nobody's there with him. Nobody's by his side. And how many people listening today know somebody who died and nobody could be there with them? An elderly person who gets sick, they don't provide him a remedy. Or like Eric says, some of these people, they let them suffer and then eventually put them on a ventilator, which kills them. It didn't help them. It killed them. And things like that, just outrageous. Instead, certain remedies worked. And I swear by that Zicam, it's an over-the-counter drug in the U.S. It just, you suck on these things and within really a few days, usually works even by itself. Sometimes I'll mix in some cold medicine with it and boom, I'm done. And that's what COVID was. It's a cold. Ultimately, it was a cold. And not saying that there wasn't something special about it. You would lose your taste. That's for sure was bizarre. And I caught it and got sick and went into the hospital in Hong Kong back in 2019. And we didn't know what COVID was then. But I got on 5 days of an antibiotic and it took care of it. And so it took care of my pneumonia. And I guess the COVID must have gone away. So anyways, this crazy that there was no remedy for people. Well, and think about it. They never said, okay, if you catch it, here's what you should do. They never said that. Never heard boo. I looked at this stuff from from really early 2020, even before 2020 and on, because it was a big story over in Hong Kong when I was there and in China. I went over, I was in China. I was about 100 miles from Wuhan on January 1st, 2020. I was there and people were talking about it already. And then they canceled the Chinese New Year. And that was like, holy smoke, you know, what's going on here? And immediately masks, which was silly. And then just crazy stuff. Then the crazy started appearing. The kids stopped going to school and parents trying to teach kids from home along with having a full-time job. It's just crazy what they put us through. And all they had to do is promote some simple remedies. And then once people got sick, do the right thing. And these vaccines are just, to me, they're toxic. And I'm glad I haven't taken it. And thank God. And I see people drop on the football field or relatives that wake up one day and they can hardly walk. The maybe one possibility is a vaccine. I'm like, thank God I didn't take that thing. Thank the Lord Jesus. And God bless, you know, those that felt like they were doing the right thing. I hope to God that if this turns out, which I believe it has already, that was the wrong thing to do, that it makes the major consciousness in this world so that people know that we've been lied to, that this stuff isn't right. Because it's, you know, it's horrible. And to see people at such a large degree, you know, get so sick. And then they force people to take the vaccines, especially in our military. And again, like Dr. Naomi Wolf was saying, she was saying, you know, if this thing's a bioweapon, well, then China's thrilled that we're forcing it upon our military. And you just sit back with Biden. What's he doing? And Obama, Biden, Obama, Obama, Biden, the same thing. What's going on? Who's running this country, first of all? And who's making this decision that the military has to take it and that the pilots have to take it? And you wondered why all of a sudden flights, they didn't have enough pilots. And then that now recently I wrote a report somebody sent me. They've changed the parameters for EKGs for pilots now. They're not as stringent as they used to be a year ago. They changed that. And some people believe this is in doing absolute part to the vaccine because pilots are getting sick and their EKGs aren't coming out right. Now, we don't want pilots dying when we're flying around the sky. We want pilots that are healthy and alive. And they force this on the pilots, many of these airlines. And they force, and there was people that didn't take it and lost their job, both pilots and stewardesses. I remember talking to one lady, she said, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'm not taking the vaccine. And I've talked to a couple individuals that were at West Point, cream of the crop, three girls that were just superstars in high school. And you have to be to make it into West Point. And they got appointed to West Point, and they go there, and COVID breaks out. And all of a sudden, they're being told they got to take a vaccine. And they didn't want to. They didn't want to put it in their body. No, I don't want that in my body. And the military started harassing them. They were treated like black sheep, put over here in a separate area, ridiculed, made fun of, forced to wear masks, ostracized, put in a separate area, not treated the same, you know, looked down upon, frowned upon. Their stories were unbelievable. I talked to these three girls, and together they just decided one day we're done. We're done with this. We don't need to be part of this anymore. And that's what the military did to these. Really, they were the ones that we want in the military. That's what we want, people of integrity and strength and the ability to say the difference between right and wrong. And my understanding is, as a soldier, if your superior has you to do something that's not right, for example, go kill a bunch of people that are innocent, something like that, you have every right in the world, as a matter of fact, a duty to not do that, perform that task. And I consider what these girls did very similar in a situation. They were told, take the vaccine, and they weren't going to take it. And they eventually were out of West Point. And, you know, that at a young age, at 19, that's left an impression on these girls for their lives. And I hope they know, if any of them are listening, that, you know, we're behind them. We salute them. You are the winners. You are the people with the courage that we want in our military. And and we respect your decision. Because now I actually heard a story. Somebody sent me something the other day. More people are dying with the vaccine than without it now. And so what's going on? I think that's COVID deaths, I believe. I don't have the study in front of me. But the data keeps coming out. It keeps supporting our position that, one, these remedies that they did recommend, masks, social distancing, they got so crazy in California, they're telling restaurants, well, you can't turn on your TV in a room. You can only put four people around a table so many feet apart. Crazy world. Crazy world. You can't go to church. You can't hold a church service. Crazy, tyrannical, anti-constitutional world. And we stood up against it. And so far, we're winning because we got the truth on our side. So thanks for coming to the Joe Hoff Show. Thank you, Eric and Adam, for joining me today. We got another great show tomorrow. So thanks, and we'll be back tomorrow on the Joe Hoff Show.